Item number nine, this is a briefing on the public and the Puget Sound Recreational Enhancement Fund, and to present Steve Thiesfeldt. Good move here. I'm glad you're in our region now. And Dave Knutson and Ryan Lothrop. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Wecker, Commissioners, Deputy Director Storr. I'm Steve Thiesfeldt, formerly the Puget Sound Salmon Manager, currently the Region 6 Fish Program Manager. I have with me today Dave Knutson with the Citizens Oversight Committee. He's the chair. And Ryan Lothrop, who is our evaluation or just general biologist for the fund. And we put him to work often, and he does most of the heavy lifting. So we're here today to brief you on the Puget Sound Recreational Salmon and Marine Fish Enhancement Fund. And you might hear me say PSRE or the program as we go through the presentation. I've got about 30 minutes, and I think that Dave would like a few minutes at the end to offer some view from the Oversight Committee. And I believe we have some of the members of the Oversight Committee in the audience. I saw at least Norm back there. So maybe as we introduce them in the presentation, they'll raise their hand or do jumping jacks or something for you. So our agenda today is just some background. I think most of the folks weren't here the last time we briefed the commission on PSRE, so wanted to just bring people up to speed on where this program initiated from and where it's been. Just touch briefly on what our current program is for this current biennium. And the main reason we're here, our goals, strategies, and objectives, our roadmap for the future. And then just a real brief of what our key next steps are in the coming year or two. The sheltered waters of Puget Sound historically supported a fairly significant fishery that catered to smaller boats. You didn't need the very large boats. I understand Larry is willing to sell you a larger boat if you're looking for one.
Advertisements are allowed.
In the late 70s, we had upwards of 1.5, 1.6 million angler trips out there. And then that the number of angler trips has declined pretty precipitously through the 80s and early 90s. Most of that decline can be attributed to significant conservation issues. Spring Chinook salmon, probably the first one, followed by wild coho populations in Puget Sound. And then finally, the listing of Puget Sound Chinook is endangered in 99. So responding to those conservation issues caused declines in the available opportunity for anglers to get out there. In 1993, Senators Oak and Owen worked with the recreational community to push through the legislature the Recreational Salmon and Marine Fish Enhancement Program. The anglers supported this program and were willing to spend more money to try to improve fishing in Puget Sound. The legislature noted that opportunities for salmon and marine bottom fish had been dwindling, and they wanted to recognize that investments made in recreational fishing programs would repay the people of the state many times over in increased economic activity and an improved quality of life. Anglers fishing in Puget Sound were assessed a $10 fee. We actually had a tag back then. You would purchase the $10 tag and affix it to your license. Those funds are deposited into this enhancement account, which is a part of the wildlife fund, but it has a separate tracking. The revenue generated from the program has been about 1.1 to 1.8 million annually. And in 1998, when we combined the tags and licenses into a single tag or a single license, we had to come up with a different way of calculating how many people were fishing in Puget Sound. We no longer had a direct sale of those. So it now is a percentage of each saltwater and combination fishing license, and we conduct a survey each year to find out who has been fishing in Puget Sound. So it's not quite as clean, but the net result is we still try to assess $10 per person for everybody fishing in Puget Sound. The area that we're referring to when we say Puget Sound is areas 5 through 13, all the way from the CQ River out in the Strait of Juan de Fuca up through, here's CQ River up here, all the way through to the San Juan Islands up to the Canadian border and central Puget Sound, Hood Canal. And for this program, salmon in Lake Washington can also be administered through the Enhancement Fund. In the original legislation, the department responsibilities, there was a major focus on hatchery-based salmon enhancement with the goal of producing 3 million yearling Chinook in Puget Sound, mostly focusing on providing winter blackmouth opportunities. These yearling releases typically stayed in Puget Sound more than our standard, what we call sub-yearling releases, that we raise for about 3 months in the hatchery. So if we held them over for a year, they would tend to stay in Puget Sound. So I might say delayed release, the idea being that instead of going at 3 months, they go at 15 months. We're also supposed to solicit support from cooperative projects, research on resident migratory salmon production opportunities, research on bottom fish production limitations and artificial propagation of bottom fish, fully implement enhancement efforts, fully utilize our hatchery programs to improve recreational fishing, and provide a coordinator to help administer the funds. In 2003, the legislature created a Citizens Oversight Committee for the Enhancement Fund. They require at least 7 members representing sport fishing organizations or communities. They are appointed to 2-year terms. They may be reappointed for additional sentence if they so choose. And those members serve without compensation. The purpose of the committee was to advise the department on all aspects of the program and review and provide guidance on the annual budget, select a chair, review and provide comments on documents and proposed enhancements of marine fish and salmon species, and address other issues related to the purposes of the program. Those committee members currently, Dave Knutson is the chair, Dave Kroonquist from SQUIM, Mike Gilchrist from Federal Way, Clint Munns from Comilche, Don Freeman Olympia, Rich Eldridge Gig Harbor, Matt Parnell Olympia, David Pookie Seattle, Norm Reinhart Port Orchard, Eric Anderson and Mike Ryan from Seattle. So I thought Norm was back there. Don? Oh, my turn for it. Members that have been with us for a long time are Dave Kroonquist and Mike Gilchrist and Clint Munns, I think have been in since the inception of the Oversight Committee. In 2010, the State Auditor's Office completed an audit of the enhancement program. They found that the production goals were not adequate for actually achieving good enhancement of the fishery out there in Puget Sound. They suggested that the legislature should replace the statutory provision requiring the department to release 3 million delayed release Chinook with outcome-oriented goals. So rather than production-based goals, have outcome. What are we actually getting into the boats that are out there fishing, into the icebox? Just because we release fish doesn't mean we're able to access and catch those fish. Those goals should align with the Hatchery Scientific Review Group's recommendations, and that the goals should permit the department the flexibility to manage its hatchery and funding to most effectively and efficiently maximize recreational fishing opportunities in Puget Sound. Survival rates of Chinook salmon in Puget Sound were declined significantly since the 70s when we first started doing these delayed release yearlings. You can see back in the early 70s, we actually had survival rates upwards of 8% or 6.5% whereas now we're currently down below 1% for yearling Chinook survival. This low survival results that in a very poor cost-benefit ratio for producing yearling fish. That was a major influence of the auditors in suggesting that outcome-based goals were more important than just production-based goals. Come on. Hit the right button. Based on the audit and another JLARC report, the agency conducted a series of meetings in 2010 where we met with the public to propose revising the legislation that authorized the program. In 2011, the legislature did adopt new legislation. The main objectives were to streamline and focus the legislation. It was pretty broad initially, asked the department to do a lot of things that were difficult to achieve. It removed the production goal, the 3 million yearling delayed release fish, and said we need to focus on these outcome-based goals. It also required us to establish program goals and objectives. The agency before did not have a specific strategic plan for this program. Those goals and objectives are essentially the main reason we're here today to bring you up to speed on those. The legislation also requires us to evaluate the effectiveness of the program. How are we doing? Are we achieving the outcome that we're trying to achieve? Or are we just producing fish and they're not being caught? By the way, we worked hard with our oversight committee on this legislation, and their support through the legislative process was instrumental in getting this through. And one of the key factors that the oversight committee wanted was a metric of angler trips as our measure of success for this program to bring us back, start trending back towards the number of anglers that were fishing daily in Puget Sound. Finally, the new legislation requires us to report to the commission annually and biannual reports to the legislature. So this should be our first annual report, and hopefully you'll see us in here reporting on our progress each year now. Or should I say you'll see Ryan up here, maybe. So I mentioned the declining survival of yearling Chinook. You can see on this graph, we almost made the 3 million mark here back in the late 90s. But as we were evaluating the success of these yearlings and the poor survival we were getting, the poor cost effectiveness of producing them, there was a conscious effort to shift production into sub-yearlings or the normal three-month period in the hatcheries. So what you'll see over time is that we've reduced our yearling production to about 1 million today, but we've greatly increased the sub-yearling production. And part of that is through working our hatchery systems more efficiently and getting more production out of the money that we're putting into them. Our current annual budget, I believe this was last fiscal year, $1.14 million goes into hatchery production. And this is salmon hatchery production. So that is still the primary focus of the program at this time. The monitoring and treatment of health issues at the hatcheries, about $44,000 a year. The program does contribute to counting sockeye coming through the Ballard locks, with our fingers crossed that someday we may be fishing on that population. About $10,000 a year we put into that. Coated wire tagging is very important for us to be able to evaluate the success, the efficiency, the effectiveness of our hatchery programs. And we put about $57,000 a year. Coordinator, I said Ryan is 6 months on the program and I have a little bit of time. And then our overhead about $92,000. So our total project expenditures for the last fiscal year were about $1.4 million. We're expecting just a little bit more than that this year to cover some of the increased expenses. And if you recall, our revenue has bounced between $1.1 and $1.8 million a year. So our production is spread throughout Puget Sound, and I'll try to just briefly go through this. We have a cooperative project with Long Live the Kings up on Orcas Island, Glenwood Springs Hatchery. Raise about a half a million sub-yearling Chinook up there. Wallace River is probably our largest single production facility, flowing into the Snohomish system and dumping right into Area 8-2. Half a million yearling Chinook there, and this is one of the more effective programs we have. And 120,000 coho are being reared there from PSRE funding. The Ballard Locks is the sockeye counting at the locks. In central Puget Sound, Big Sioux's hatchery on the Green River dumps into the heart of Seattle, 3.2 million sub-yearling. And then just upstream here at Icy Creek, another 300,000 yearling Chinook. Coming down to the Puyallup River, Voigt's Creek Hatchery, or Voigt Creek Hatchery, 1.2 million sub-yearlings and 120,000 coho. In deep South Sound, Garrison Springs, nearly a million, but 850,000 sub-yearlings. In Carr Inlet, Minter Creek Hatchery, 1.4 million sub-yearling Chinook, three-quarters of a million sub-yearling Chinook that we take eggs and do some, I think, just real early rearing before we ship them to, Gorse Creek Hatchery, a cooperative project with Suquamish Tribe and the Kitsap Pogie Club in Sinclair Inlet. And 120,000 yearling fish there. A program that we've just brought into the fold of PSRE that we're very excited about is the Hup Springs rearing of 400,000 sub-yearlings. These are White River stock spring Chinook that we've been wanting to get into the hatchery program as a harvest program for a number of years. So this one, we just folded into this fund here within the last couple years, and we're real excited to see where we can go with that. And finally, over in Hood Canal, 120,000 yearling Chinook. Just want to bring home the point that these resident fish can swim all over Puget Sound. And just because we rear them in one place, we can't force them to stay there. They kind of have a mind of their own and go where the bait is. So this is a coated wire tag analysis done a number of years ago on brood years 2000 through 2006 for Area 12 Hood Canal winter blackmouth or Chinook. And you can see that nearly three-quarters of the catch that occurs out in that fishery was actually from fall fingerlings raised in Hood Canal. So even though the yearling program was designed to try to prop up the winter fisheries, what we're seeing is that the sub-yearlings are also, perhaps even more so, propping up those winter fisheries. That's why we've shifted some of our production. Hood Canal yearling fish right here are about 10% of the catch. A little slice of one to few contributaries, lower Georgia Strait in Canada. So mid-Puget Sound fall fingerlings, these would be the Sioux Creek or Puyallup or Gorse Creek fish. Skagit spring Chinook yearlings, right here probably Marble Mount origin. Snohomish fall yearlings, this would be the Wallace production. Deep South Puget Sound, probably Garrison, Chambers, Lakewood, Minter, Tum Waterfalls. And then South Puget Sound fall yearlings. This was a major component of the program from Lakewood, Chambers, and Garrison historically. And then finally, White River yearling Chinook were about 2%. So that's the stock that we're excited about at Hup Springs. So these fish swim to where the conditions are right for them.
Yeah, Steve, just one question. Where are the Glenwood Springs fish on that?
I think back in these brood years, we were having very poor contribution rates from Glenwood Springs. We're seeing a much improved out there now. Mm-hmm. But back when when this analysis was done, these brood years, I don't think we were seeing much contribution, especially in Hood Canal.
That's why I asked.
Okay. On to our goals, strategies, and objectives. Recall this is part of the legislation that we have to develop these. Again, we worked with our oversight committee. We rolled up our sleeves and dug in, and this wasn't easy. We put a lot of work into this, and we think we have a really well-developed, thoughtful roadmap for the future here. Want to just provide some thoughts on the framework. Although we want to be ambitious, we also want to be realistic. The auditor's report said we weren't meeting our goals, and therefore we needed to change the way we were doing things. We didn't want to set ourselves up for having another audit come in and say, why aren't you meeting your goals? So although we want ambitious, and I know that especially the Oversight Committee wants the bar high, we want to make sure we're not setting ourselves up for failure. Chinook are a long-lived animal relative to salmon. They're 3 to 5 years. If we make changes to the hatchery programs today and those fish are released next spring, it's going to be another 3 to 4 years down the road before those fish return to and are available for our fisheries to give us an idea of how effective we're being. And if we want to do 3 or 4 years of monitoring of a program, we're looking at 8 to 10 years down the road before we can even see whether our changes have been effective. All that to say that it's a long process to make these changes. We can't just do something overnight and expect to be able to see what that change produces for us. We also want this to be a living document. We want to revise it as necessary as we go through and find out what is and isn't working, where our successes and failures are. And finally, we wanted to take advantage of other initiatives within the agency and leverage the PSRE resources with those. One example would be marketing and promotion, where the Inland Program has started the Fish Washington campaign. Well, we want to hop on that bandwagon and work side by side with them on those initiatives to promote Fish Puget Sound. So, the overall program goal: improve recreational fishing opportunities and increase the economic benefits. And our overall performance measure is to increase angler trips by 5% per biennium. May not sound very ambitious till you plot it out on a graph and it starts to go almost exponential. So this is a hopefully a good, reasonable level for us to shoot for and try to achieve. There are 4 key strategies that we worked on that are within our goals and objectives. We want to improve marketing and remove obstacles to build interest and participation in these fisheries. When we talk about obstacles, we want to make sure that new anglers can easily get into fishing in the marine environment. And it's not always easy for a new angler to jump into fishing in the marine area. Increase the effectiveness of our hatcheries providing salmon to these fisheries. Develop a long-term strategy for improving recreational bottom fisheries. And then finally, we need to stabilize and enhance the resources and revenue that we're putting into these programs for improving these fisheries. Some key short-term objectives. In your packet is a complete list of all the goals and objectives. I'm not going to go over all of them for you, but if you need some reading at night, there's something there for you. Our key short-term objectives, increase awareness of the opportunities supported by the program. We're not sure that most people even recognize that we still have a program, that it's out there, that it's contributing to their fisheries. We want to make sure people know it's there and that these opportunities are out there for them to go take advantage of. We want to develop marketing tools to encourage participation and educate the new anglers. How do I go fish in Puget Sound? What do I need? How do I do it? Where can I go? Promote fisheries on healthy stocks that are currently underutilized. Yes?
Commissioner Smith has a question.
Thank you. Just on bullet 2 there, when you're looking at encourage participation and educate new anglers, do you have a demographic range, or is that just across the board, or are you going to segment that in terms of different marketing strategies for different demographic? Or is it premature?
It's a bit premature, but we know that we would want to tailor that to the demographics that we identify as being underrepresented within our fisheries. I know the Inland Program did complete a marketing study here a little while ago that identified what some of those demographic groups are that need greater representation or that could fish more. I don't know that those will be the same groups that we will be focusing on or not. We'll have to see.
I guess a part of that was a leading question, or at least in the back of my mind. Would part of that demographic parameter be age?
Yes.
Okay. And if so, would younger anglers be an important part of that?
Yes.
Target?
Yes, that is one that we've already identified as we need to find a way to make it easier for somebody to take a youngster fishing in Puget Sound. And that may not be fishing for Chinook, right?
Okay. And as you develop those tools, I would really appreciate it if you would communicate that with us, that particular segment, because it overlaps with the initiative. One of the initiatives that we're looking at is getting greater participation by youth into the outdoors across the spectrum. And I think if we collaborated on this, we could have a little synergy. Yeah.
Correct. And that would be before we report back next year, or?
Much sooner than that, yes.
We want to minimize the cost per fish of hatchery salmon caught in the marine fisheries. That's our metric that we've been using to evaluate the hatcheries. It's not how many return to the hatchery or what their survival rate is. It's what percentage of them are caught in a recreational fishery in Puget Sound. Increase the survival of Lake Washington hatchery sockeye. And finally, I might have some more here on this slide. Use outreach and education to decrease mortality on rockfish. Rockfish are limiting some of our opportunities in Puget Sound, and we want to try to recover those as quickly as possible. Develop 5 new tools by 2017 to increase awareness of the opportunities that are out there. And we want to see a 10% increase in that awareness per biennium. And by 2015, we want to try to identify as many as we can of the underutilized fish stocks in Puget Sound. We can't just send people to go fish for sand dabs if sand dabs aren't abundant and healthy. We want to make sure that we're not directing them and creating a future conservation issue. By 2014, we'll complete a report that calculates and summarizes survival rates, contribution rates, that's our into the icebox contribution, and cost per fish for all of the Puget Sound, Coho, and Chinook hatcheries. Not just the ones funded by PSRE, but all of them, because we might decide that funding would be better spent at this facility that's doing well versus where we currently are. We want to identify any new rearing and release strategies that might be implemented in any of these hatcheries that would improve the rate that they contribute to our fisheries. By 2015, we want to do a thorough review of everything that's out there on sockeye rearing and release strategies that would increase survival rate and put that into a report that summarizes what our opportunities there are for Lake Washington. By 2015, we want to make sure that we pull together everything we've learned with the program that's been supported by PSRE on lingcod culture out at the Manchester Labs. I think there's a number of papers out there. We need to pull all that together, synthesize what we've learned there, and provide a recommendation for where we go in the future. Improve angler identification of rockfish species by 50% by 2017. Again, this is these fish can be bycatch in other fisheries, and anglers may not even know they're rockfish. They might think they're lingcod or greenling. So we want to make sure that they know what they're catching out there. Increase the use of descender tools to 50% of the encounters by 2017, and decrease angler encounters of rockfish by 10% by 2017. In other words, we want to get them off of places where they and techniques that are causing them to have rockfish bycatch. So this is the last slide that we have here. Our next steps, these are the things that we're going to be working on here in the next year or so. We have all these performance measures that say how we're going to improve and how much of a percent improvement we need to see. Well, we have to establish what the baselines are for those. Where are we now? And I think Ryan's going to be doing a lot of work on that here in the next year and a half or so. We want to really focus on marketing our opportunities in Puget Sound to new and lapsed anglers. We are already partnering with the rest of the agency booth at the Puyallup Sportsman Show, and we're going to have a section of that focusing specifically on marketing opportunities in Puget Sound. In fact, I think the banner is Fish Puget Sound. We want to finish this cost effectiveness of the Puget Sound hatchery report, get that out of the way. Complete the sockeye rearing release information report and the lingcod culture findings. Would you like to have, that's all I had. Do you want to have Dave go or ask questions now?
Any questions? Okay, we'll wait. Dave, welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director, thanks for having us here today. I'm going to provide a summary of what Steve has said, but in the words of the Oversight Committee. So, thanks for having us today. For the record, I'm Dave Knutson, and I'm here as the chair of the Puget Sound Recreational Fishery Enhancement Oversight Committee. Try to say that fast a couple times. And I wanted to add the perspective of the Oversight Committee to the department's report. The PSRE program has a checkered history that could be classified as the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, in 1993, the program was created as a self-imposed tax by the sport angling community who wanted to see more fish in the recreational catch. The bad, early on, the program was geared towards sheer production numbers, 3 million fish to be exact. This was before ESA listing of Puget Sound Chinook, Mark Selective Fisheries, the Hatchery Scientific Review, and before the WDFW Commission policy on hatchery and fishery reform. Despite being implemented at a time when there was the accepted paradigm was fish production, the goal of 3 million fish was never reached. The ugly, the redirection of funds within the department with little to no meaningful oversight, an audit that condemned the program due to not reaching the goal of 3 million fish, and news articles that we all saw that had it at over $1,600 a fish in the sport catch. So there was need for change, changing the legislation or eliminating the program altogether. And both were considered, and legislative change was supported by the department and by the recreational and conservation interest groups. So currently, as Steve presented, we're on an upswing in terms of having a direction. We're not here to focus on the past, but to provide a road forward. We have clear goals that include meaningful angling opportunity, economics, hatchery and fishery reform policy, HSRG guidelines, while retaining our blackmouth history. We have an oversight committee and department that has renewed interest and commitment to track the achievement of these goals through quarterly progress reports. We have plans to create excitement amongst the fishing community and hopefully draw back those anglers that have stopped purchasing licenses, as well as draw the next generation to fishing. These plans include renewing the outreach and education program through modern media sources, such as the YouTube generation, evaluate the current funded hatchery production and costs to put fish in the Puget Sound catch, and emphasis to achieve change where appropriate, endorse outside-the-box methods in selective Chinook and coho fisheries, including reducing hatchery Chinook size limits, multiple rods, and decrease impact to bycatch releases in our salmon fisheries. Restore historical fisheries that are scientifically defensible. An example would be the Lake Washington sockeye fishery, where new data suggests a lower escapement threshold is appropriate to constitute a fishery and maintain the species. So I don't want to paint a picture of completion, but I want to paint a picture of a bright future if we're willing to take some risk and think outside the box and put ourselves to achieve the goals forward. The Oversight Committee asked the Commission to help us achieve success by also having expectations upon the Department to support the Puget Sound Angler. Lastly, on behalf of the Oversight Committee, I wanted to give appreciative thank you to Steve, who's been our coordinator for the last several years. And we look forward to working with him as he moves on to Region 6 as a fish program manager. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? I was impressed. I think you've got a pretty meaty, kind of substantive plan here. It seems to me, it sounds like a lot of very experienced well-informed people really have been getting together and thinking about what is most needed. And that seems to constitute a very dramatic change when people were feeling outside, looking in, and upset, not happy with what we were doing. So this looks great to me. It makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
I like it. Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I'd like to thank all of you for that presentation. That was really refreshing and energetic, and most welcome by some of us that have been in the trenches previously as a stakeholder, now as a commissioner. I think a couple things. The marketing of what's available out there to the department's customer, who the customer is, and how do you market to them. You know, there's in the winter blackmouth fisheries throughout Puget Sound, there's a really small group of fishermen. I mean, there's probably 2 to 5% of the people that normally fish salmon that fish in the winter, because so many people don't know anything about it. They haven't been introduced to it. We keep talking about the website. I think what you talked about, Steve, this outreach, I think is critical. And as we all know, with recreational fishermen in particular, if you provide opportunity and they know about it, they'll participate. And participation generates an awful lot of revenue for the state. And I appreciate what you did.
Thank you, Larry.
Commissioner Mencken?
Yeah, I'd also like to weigh in. This is a program that I've tracked during most of my professional career, and the laboratory that I was located at, the Manchester Laboratory, has done a lot of work along these lines. I'm glad for a couple of things. I'm glad that to see you moving away from standard hatchery production for the purpose of standard hatchery production and looking at what the consequences are. I think there's a lot of new technology out there that you could use very nicely in the production of in a new swing towards production. I think Hood Canal is one example of you know, there's something going on in Hood Canal that gives you improved survival of the fish released from hatcheries in Hood Canal. I'm also glad to see you working on the Hup Springs, Spring Chinook. I think that offers some great possibilities. Another thing is, in 1993, you said that the legislature created the Puget Sound Recreational Salmon and Marine Enhancement Program. You've hit on a couple of marine enhancement topics as you've gone through. One of them is right there, summarize the lingcod culture findings. Have you looked at other species of fish? When you did the lingcod work, the lingcod were depressed in Puget Sound, and people were interested in trying to enhance that. That's been a long and tedious process. The scientists at the Manchester Laboratory have learned very well how to culture lingcod, but now the lingcod seem to be coming back. And I would suspect that you're probably assigning a lower priority to those lingcod. Have you considered other fishes? I mean, we do know at this point how to culture things like several of the rockfish species. And have you considered the use of artificial reefs to enhance populations of things like rockfish?
We have talked briefly about if there are other species that we would like to culture. I think we thought our first step was, let's figure out whether lingcod still have a piece in this puzzle. You know, is there still some opportunity there that lingcod could provide some improvement in fishing in Puget Sound before we decide to abandon them and move on to another species? The artificial reef, we hear about it a lot from our constituents. They all are encouraging us to do so. I'm not all that familiar with all of our protocol, all of our policies on rockfish and groundfish in Puget Sound, but I do know we do have a pretty significant investment in some policies in the groundfish, and I don't know if Craig is here. Can I look to you for maybe some thoughts on that, Craig?
Yeah, I think I'd be happy.
Do you
want to
come up here and speak into the mic? Pull up a chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Mencken. The department has been exploring some opportunities looking at artificial reefs in Puget Sound. You received, I think, at last month a briefing on our HPA WAC language, and within that package was a language that the department would be proposing that would help provide information to the public on how to do artificial reefs or what it would take. There is some interest in artificial reefs, not only for conservation but also for enhancing diving areas, underwater parks. And so there's a work that's currently underway there that I think would serve multiple purposes, including enhancement for fishing opportunities. So there are some things that are underway, not only within PSRE, but also that the department's looking at in general.
Thank you.
Thanks. Other comments or questions? I noticed, Steve, that when you were talking about smolt survival, you or fish, the juvenile survival numbers have gone way down, but not a word about causal factors. Are we staying away from that topic intentionally? Or?
No. There's a whole group of folks that are working hard to try to figure out what is causing that. Yeah. I think there's a number of papers to be published if folks can get a good handle on that. I know there's this Salish Sea Initiative is finally trying to pull together folks that have traditionally not necessarily worked together to solve these issues. Commissioner Mankin was referring to in Hood Canal, a paper was just recently published that found very low survival rates up to the bridge, and they postulated some reasons for why they thought those survival rates were so low, but they didn't necessarily have the smoking gun. So it's easy to find out what the survival rates are. It's much more difficult to decipher what the cause is. But in that particular study, they found that the major mortality area was right at the bridge. So they were speculating that pinnipeds may have been a major cause there. And I think that was steelhead was that study. Don't quote me on that, though. So, you know, there's a lot of work going into that, and they're trying to pull all of that together. I guess our view is we would utilize what we learn from these other groups that are working on that rather than trying to do what they're doing already.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Director Anderson?
You may recall that I referenced in previous director's report this Salish Sea study. It's Long Live the Kings and a foundation in Canada have joined together to look at early marine survival rate issues. We worked with Larry Rutter from NOAA Fisheries to get a contribution of $5 million from the Southern Fund and from the Pacific Salmon Commission Southern Fund to put toward this project. I'm on record as saying I think it's the single most important thing that we can do is to try to solve that problem that was up there about the early marine survival rate issues for both salmon and steelhead. We know that through some radio tagging, it takes a fish, once it leaves the Nisqually, about 8 days to get to Nia Bay. And we know that there's not very many of them that are making it to Nia Bay. And that similar issues coming up with Hood Canal. They have similar problems in Georgia Strait. When you compare the declines of early marine survival in Puget Sound and Georgia Strait with what's going on the coast, you don't see that occurring to that degree. Was there a common factor? Was the coast being affected in the same way from some ocean climatic issue? Or is there something inherent in Puget Sound that's causing a more dramatic decline in early marine survival? So this is a 5-year study. It's a $20 million study. Again, we've got a really good, I think pretty good base of funding. We have people from our science division and the fish program actively working in that process. So we're fully engaged and invested in trying to figure out that problem and look for a solution.
Thanks. I didn't mean to suggest that the department was not involved in studying that. I was just wondering why it wasn't raised in the context of this presentation. Why are we trying to stay away from that topic for this presentation was what I meant to say. But it did lead to your response, which was to remind us all that we're working hard on that one.
The way I would answer that from the Oversight Committee is that within the grasp of this group, mm-hmm. is we want to look at the hatchery production that we are paying for, and we want to make sure that it's released as healthy and as best as can be, and that we as a group plan on working with the hatcheries, the people that know best of exactly how those fish are being released, and see if there are nuances within the system that we can release a better fish. Now, that's removing the marine component altogether, but we want to make sure we're at least getting the best bang for our buck within the hatchery system.
Great. Good. Good job.
Thank you.